This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by one of our regular guests and one of our star guests, Rick Kess. Rick is a partner to RSM. RSM is the leader in sort of mid-market private equity business, quality of earnings, diligence, more, just a brilliant person at a brilliant firm. We're going to talk today about trends in the private equity business for 2022, what he's seeing, what he's watching. We'll probably bother him a little bit too. He's a big Minnesota Vikings fan. We'll probably bother him on what he sees going on with the coaching change there and what he expects. But we'll really focus on private equity for those of our fans that aren't football fans. Rick, take a moment. Tell us what you're expecting for this year. Last year was a crazily busy year. This year, interest rates are going up. What does this mean for the private equity business?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interest rate environment is definitely going to be, you know, a bit of a headwind. I mean, obviously, as a lot of deals end up being highly leveraged and, you know, pretty sensitive to interest rate fluctuations. But, you know, the other side of that equation is, you know, where money is going and what people are seeing. I mean, everybody who woke up this morning saw the pre-market results on Netflix and, you know, seeing this huge decrease in their valuation. And, you know, I think if people get skittish about what's going on in the public markets, you know, perhaps more and more money will continue to come into the private equity market and then try to find a longer term kind of play and not kind of be so cyclical and so, you know, the market driven. So, you know, I do think there's a headwind of the interest rate, but I think there's going to be some possibly tailwinds on, you know, where money's going and what people are thinking about, you know, how long term they want to look at from a value perspective. And then, you know, I think inflation is just causing such a disruption in the entire ecosystem, you know, just looking at, you know, what that's doing. And, you know, I wonder if perhaps some of that will also drive some money into private equity because inflation is going to have some, you know, temporary fluctuations within the public market. So again, I think money is going to come into the private equity market, and I think that might help kind of overcome some of the headwinds on the interest rate challenges.
And what do you see, for example? I mean, you mentioned the public markets, two fascinating things we're watching, two of the pandemic darling stocks, Netflix, you know, seeing Netflix growth really chilled. I mean, talk about Netflix and chilled, Netflix growth chills amongst all this competition, unless people just being home all the time. But, you know, from the Peacock to the Disney to all these other ones competing, Netflix just having a hard time finding growth. And then Peloton also took it on the chin, I think down 80% over the last 12 months, I read this morning. What is this? Does this mean anything for private equity investments? Does it make private equity investors a little skittish about valuations because they're worried about how things will come out at the other end? Or what does this mean for valuations? Does it have an impact on multiples as rates go up a little bit? And there's these kinds of concerns with the public markets?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw, you know, in the prior 2 years, you know, within the private equity world, we saw just this incredible growth around, you know, technology-based companies, you know, companies that maybe had a look or a feel of a Netflix or a Peloton, but maybe in a different, you know, service line or different sector of the economy. And, you know, I do think those kinds of companies are going to, you know, cool off a bit. You know, but, you know, it can come back to inflation. And Scott, you know, I cover healthcare most closely. And, you know, healthcare being such a, you know, kind of an inelastic demand service, you know, I think some of those areas where you have some of that inelastic demand, you know, that's where we're probably going to see some really, you know, kind of curious valuations because if, you know, the technology sector is cooling and the inelastic demand continues to kind of be there. You know, with healthcare services or some other things where, you know, just, you know, price fluctuations aren't going to drive demand too much. You know, I think that's where we're probably going to see a little bit of maybe price increases. So, you know, that's what I'm kind of curious about in tracking is really, you know, what's going to be there related to inflation. And then, like you said, like the technology valuation is kind of hitting some of that price concessions now.
But that's a fascinating perspective. I always view this sort of people investing in the healthcare services, the practices, these ancillary businesses is sort of truly private equity investors, meaning typically investing in things that have cash flow that are really businesses, and they might not be as binary and they might not have as big a return, but they feel like there's less of a yes or no, win or lose approach when a private equity fund invests in them. And then sort of on the technology side, which has been all the rage the last few years, it's all anybody wants to invest in, that's more binary, more huge growth, or more don't really pick up the traction they want to pick up. And so it's really a fascinating dichotomy. You know, I just saw a company sold $20 million in revenue, sold for $200 million in the technology sector. Thank goodness they sold 6-12 months ago versus now. But that's a company that had barely had any EBITDA, but based on the concept of maybe their scalable growth, like a Netflix, like a Peloton subscription model, Peloton, et cetera. But you see now the tilt back towards a little bit more private equity / value investing, possibly, as people look at it as a little bit less binary. But even with the value investing, they're going to want a technology component, and everybody still wants a subscription model component, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You know, and you know, I think the thing that kind of I thought for a while with Netflix, you know, before there was all these other options, you kind of wondered, are they going to be like a Facebook where it's like everybody has a Facebook account, right? And, you know, it's really only one platform out there to do what Facebook has. But, you know, you kind of now see, well, Netflix is great. They have a great model. They have great content. But, you know, HBO is going to compete with them, or Peacock's going to compete with them, or Disney's going to compete with them. And, you know, then they're going to start packaging it with, you know, your Verizon phone and your other things. So, you know, I do think, you know, the competition of where things are at just creates this challenge for Netflix that I think, you know, we obviously didn't see with Facebook. And I do think, you know, the other, you know, even within like healthcare technology companies, you kind of wondered, you know, are we going to have, you know, one telemedicine, you know, provider that just dominates the market? And I think we're kind of hearing and seeing that's probably not going to happen. You know, you're going to have multiple different service offerings to choose from, depending on what you want, what you're looking for, and kind of how much you're willing to pay.
No, it's absolutely fascinating. The other thing that's fascinating to me is one of the things that you see is it's in the face of subscription slowdowns, both, quite frankly, at Peloton and Netflix, both companies look to keep the revenues growing by slightly raising their prices. And I think the fascinating thing, you know, if you look at the old Peter Lynch style of investing, you think about Netflix, there's probably a time that went by that everybody turned on Netflix every single day, just like they might do Facebook. And now I think that eye, those eyeballs, that looking at things, to use an old phrase from the late 90s, early 2000s, the eyeballs, they go to a variety of different places. Like I know recently, you know, we had to use our HBO Max subscription, which we never use for something. And, you know, just that we're not on Netflix every single day and the 38 kids aren't on it every day as much as they were. It'll be interesting how that evolves. And similarly with Peloton, you know, how many years does somebody keep the Peloton bike in their house without it getting used? At what time do they ever cancel subscription, you know, or manage their subscriptions and so forth? But it's fascinating subjects. And, you know, I know we've been dislodged in this discussion or moved to this tangent about Peloton Netflix, but it's so fascinating to see some of these big tech/ companies, streaming companies, take it a little bit on the chin and what that means for valuations and investor appetite. You know, talking about, Rick, let me just switch you for 30 seconds, and I apologize to our viewers, but I'm so interested in your views. Mike Zimmer, coach of the Vikings, much heralded, now fired. Speaking of taking it on the chin, he just took it on the chin. Who do the Vikings replace him with, and is there a pathway for them to get better?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have some pockets of talent. I mean, we have wide receiver, you know, you've got Jefferson and Thielen, and you got Delvin Cook as, you know, your running back. You got to believe that, you know, with the right coaching staff, you've got the talent to win. So, you know, I'm bullish on the Vikings. I've been bullish my whole life, but, you know, I do think, you know, we got to have somebody that comes in here and figures out, okay, with those three pieces, you know, how do we find a way to just, you know, score more points than the other team? I mean, as simple as that, right? So I think there's somebody out there that's going to do it. I'm hopeful that they make some moves quickly. And, you know, I'm optimistic for next year for sure.
And I know that our producer, by chance, is awesome, and it's apologize for this as well. Is also a huge Vikings fan. Jeremy, any insight yourself or any question that you have for Rick about whether the Vikings can get better? I mean, the thing I like about the Vikings, the thing I like about the Lions, as a Chicago Bears fan, they are often the only teams in the NFC North that we have a chance of beating, even though the Vikings whipped us this year. Jeremy, any questions or comments on the Vikings coaching search?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know of a real front runner for the search right now, but I agree with Rick. I mean, so there are pockets of the offense like Justin Jefferson. I mean, he's a rare talent. We have Thielen. We have Dalvin Cook. We have, you know, we have Kirk Cousins, who hopefully will stick around for a bit. I hate that all the problems we have get blamed on him. But no, I think it'd be stupid to do a complete rebuild. I think if we just got a great offensive-minded coach, that would help. And even listening to some podcasts recently, the issues Zimmer and Spielman were having behind the scenes, apparently they didn't talk to each other the last 4 or 5 months, like almost at all. And the owners were so far away, they just weren't aware of the disconnect and problems they were having behind the scenes. So that was kind of crazy to hear how problematic it was behind the scenes. And you just can't win as an organization like that. But with the offensive talent we have, we should be able to win a lot of games. And a lot of the games we lost were, you know, within a few points at the end of the game. So that was kind of crappy. I mean, you flip a coin and it could have gone the other way. So.
Well, I'm sorry to our audience for segueing off of private equity. Rick Kess is a brilliant private equity commentator and partner at RSM. I promise next week we'll stick solely to private equity. But I love this discussion. If there's one reason I cheer for the Vikings, it's so that they beat the Green Bay Packers, which are all of our rivals in the NFC North. So anyways, in any event, Rick, thank you for joining us. Jeremy Corr, the producer, founder of Executive Podcasting Solutions, one of the very best in the business. Thank you for being with us as well. Thank you, folks.